Brother.
Oh, yeah.
Brother.
Oh, it is Friday, September 23rd. Back to another episode of the Deep Six Wrestling Podcast. Yeah, it's been a few weeks, but we are back with another episode of the Impact Power Hour. I'm Ryan.
I'm Angelo.
And yeah, so we are here to talk about last night's Impact, so on the 22nd, as well as a little combo episode for you. Going to talk about Victory Road that just happened, because, yeah, that's the good thing about these Friday night shows is that we can do back-to-back shows, talk about back-to-back things.
All one quick. Episode, right? Yeah. On the next one.
Yeah. Yeah, so we haven't had an episode in a bit, but we're back, and yeah, all good stuff here. So yeah, there's a lot to talk about. We are going to get right on into things. Before we get too far ahead of ourselves, make sure to follow Deep Six Wrestling on Twitter at Deep Six Wrestling. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast on any of the different platforms that we are on, as well as our YouTube channel, the Deep Six Wrestling Podcast. These are all free to do. It just helps us reach more people. You can comment, rate us, do all that stuff. I guess talking about the one piece of news that I feel like should be talked about before we go too far is Brian Hebner has his podcast, and he said that when he retired from Impact a few weeks months ago, I guess that was at Slammiversary, he knew of or he still talks to a lot of the people in the back still regularly. And he is aware of at least 4 to 6 people who their contracts expire in October, right after Bound for Glory. So didn't say who they were. He said the Good Brothers are gone, though, and the door is still open for them to come back to Impact. But realistically, the Impact knows that their goal is to go back to New Japan full time. But yeah, 4 to 6 other people. And then
right after, Maria, one of them.
Yeah. Right after that, Maria Kanellis did an interview with Fightful and said that her contract has been a per appearance deal, and that the last appearance that is has been agreed on is Bound for Glory. And that she has talked to Triple H. She has talked to Tony Khan in the last few weeks and had very positive talks with them. But she isn't ruling out appearing anywhere else.
I feel like she's been pulling this card for the past few months, basically since Honor No More has been there, where she's like, I'm on a almost per appearance agreement.
Yeah.
So, but she's been sticking around still.
Yeah, I just can't see her going back to WWE after the way they left to begin with. And also now she runs her own promotion. So unless she's just going to be like a manager type thing or like a backstage person like Booker who runs his own promotion, I can't think of anybody else who has kept like a promotion or
Brian Kendrick those... did. I know he's okay. canceled now, but he he did. He had a California promotion.
Okay. There's few and far between that go to WWE with a promotion still under their belt. Like there's people who have training schools and stuff like D-Von and Cody and Seth all have their own training schools and stuff, but that's different than a whole promotion. That you're in the regular business day to day booking shit. Trying to set up meetings, trying to set up travel dates, all that stuff. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. I asked Pat and Angelo who they thought could be on the hook, who could leave. We all said Maria and OGK. I said Rich Swann just because I have no idea what else he can do in Impact. I feel like he's done it all. I feel like he's basically Ray Mac.
kind of see Triple H be given a call back to.
Yes. Yeah. Or even just like if he just wants to do more indie dates, like I know that he's married to Sue Young, who should be having a baby soon. So maybe he wants to take time off to just focus on being a father, things like that. Who knows, man? You know who's it's not going to be though, Angelo, is PCO, because PCO be killing it.
He's locked too. He's got a player deal. Yeah. That was one of the first things reported when the Honor No More came.
Yeah, he was like the only person who signed a multi-year deal was PCO.
A 50 something year old PCO.
Yeah. For Bound for Glory, I watched it with my dad, who does not watch wrestling much. So I will. He had some random takes about the show and questions.
Yeah. Oh, and we'll get to them.
Yes, when we get talked about Bound for Glory. Victory Road. Bound for Glory is in 2 weeks. All right. So last night's Impact. I did not watch before the Impact BTI. I did not feel like it. There's just too much stuff going on. Did you watch Angelo?
No, I did not watch BTI. All right,
cool. So we start off the show with the rundown from last week, as always. And then we start off the show with our first match. It is a ladder match, which commentary says is the first ever ladder match shown live on Access TV. It's a weird definition of live.
Yeah, like, I guess like they just mean on their taped show.
Yeah.
On Access.
Yeah. But it is the Digital Media Championship match between Bhupinder Gujar and Brian Myers. I felt like this should have been on the pay-per-view.
It was a really good match, and this is something they've been building for months.
Yes.
For this just to kind of be the blow-off match, which I don't know. We still got time until Bound for Glory, but for this to potentially be the blow-off match between Bhupinder and Brian Myers to end the way it did and on Impact just feels, you know, you're short-sighting Bhupinder.
Yeah, absolutely. did Sam just join?
Oh, do we have a visitor?
It seems like Sam joined.
Thank you for the introduction, Ryan. I just wanted to remind the Deep Six community that I will be your forever eternal, forever eternal Deep Six champion until the end of time. And also that Hot Take Jake will never be the Hot Take champion. Thank you.
Thank you, Sam. I need that. Is he our Deep Six champion currently?
I think he won at whatever the last pay-per-view was, All Out.
I guess we're going to defend Bound for Glory.
Yeah, we have to.
Or he's got to defend, and you know how big of an Impact fan
he is. He's going to go undefeated.
Yeah, undefeated is in no wins.
I'm glad Sam just joined the podcast just for that. I think that was great.
Good.
But yes, I agree. I thought this was a great way to kick off the show. I think it shows that they're kind of redoing this belt a little bit, since originally the standards of the belt was it could only be defended on the YouTube channel or Facebook or at other shows. It wasn't going to be defended on TV, basically. Now it has. It still hasn't been defended on a main card of a pay-per-view or a Impact Plus show.
Which I think don't is believe. Fine.
Yeah.
I guess. I know we were just saying like we wanted Bhupinder to kind of get that moment. It could have been a pre-show, Matt.
Yes. Yes. That's what I thought it was going to be. It was going to be on the kickoff show, because there wasn't any matches announced before yesterday, I think, that were going to be on the kickoff show. So I figured this would be on there when they announced the ladder match, because I just saw that on Twitter passing through that this was going to be a match. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. That's going to be a good kickoff match. And nope. It was kickoff of Impact TV, which is cool. It got the crowd hot.
Got me hot and bothered.
Ooh. At the beginning of this match, Bhupinder straight off goes right after Brian Myers, hits a gargoyle spear, or goes for the gargoyle spear, but Brian Myers connects with a really cool knee right to the face that stuns Bhupinder. For a bit, Brian Myers brings in a ladder and tries to end the match early. Bhupinder gets him off the ladder with a really cool cutter. And this would set him up for the gargoyle spear again, which he would hit, and Brian Myers would kind of fall backwards into the ladder. Thought this was a cool opening start off to this match. I thought, okay, well, maybe this match isn't going to go as long as I thought. The match went over 15 minutes.
Yeah. So surprising for a one-on-one ladder match.
Yes. And I felt like there wasn't a point in this match where it was like, all right, this is like too slow. There's not much going on. Like, there were points where both guys were down, but like, it made sense for them to be down. It wasn't like, oh, this guy got hit by a slow
spot fest.
No.
Neither of those wrestlers are like known for that. I mean, Bhupinder is pretty raw.
Yeah.
But like, Brian Myers isn't known for like just setting up big spots and just, you know, hitting 450s or things like that. So. No, it was a well-paced match all the way through. I think Brian Myers looked really, really good here. I mean, he was the ring general definitely in this match. But Bhupinder had his moments like to make his comebacks. It obviously didn't work in his favor. We'll get to that.
Yeah, there also, you said that like Brian Myers isn't known for like spot fests and things like that. There were some really, really, really innovative spots that I can't remember seeing very much. It's rare to see like a one-on-one ladder match to begin with. I can't think of any in Impact since we started watching again that I can remember. Yeah. I feel like it like the only time there's like a, I think this might have been like the only ladder match other than like the King of the Mountain stuff, and then like Ultimate X. Like, I feel like that's the closest I've had to like thinking back to it that we've had.
Yeah, ladder matches in like a specialty of Impact, definitely not.
Yeah. But Brian Myers hit a really cool belly to back suplex off of the ladder, which I thought was ridiculous.
Yes, true.
He also, the ending of this match was very cool. It was very unique. I don't think I've ever seen a ladder match end this way before. But Bhupinder had been beaten up pretty bad. Looked like he might have broke his nose pretty early on. He was just gushing blood out of that nose for most of this match. But he starts climbing real slow. And as he's about to get to the top, Brian Myers comes back in, low blows him, and then wraps his leg in tape and tapes Bhupinder to the ladder so that he couldn't climb up any higher than he was because of how tired he was. And because of the tape, and Brian Myers wins. I thought this was a unique way to end this.
I did not think this is, if this is the end of the feud, I did not think this is what was going to be the result of it, especially after Bhupinder's lost twice already, right?
Yeah, so he lost once kind of cheatingly. Then he lost a second time because he got himself DQ'd because he... Brian Myers brought
the belt into the ring, and then
yes, and like he tried to take it away, and it slapped Brian Myers when he did it, and the ref blew it away. Yeah. And now this, so this is like the first somewhat clean victory.
Yeah, I mean, it's a ladder match, no DQ.
Yes, yeah,
the loss is a loss. You got low blows, you know, it's a heel thing, but
yeah,
this to me is a loss.
Yes, I think that this is. I think they should move on from this. Bhupinder can go do something else for a bit. Do I think it happens? No, I feel like Bound for Glory, they'll have their actual blow-off match. But who knows?
Yeah, Bhupinder's in that weird spot. I think that's like where Macklin maybe was last year. Where, I mean, like, Macklin was put in the X Division. Bhupinder doesn't seem like a guy that's going to be thrown into the X Division at all in any capacity. He's not,
no.
You know, he's a bigger guy. So... there's that little issue of ceiling where near an Impact is like the mid-card title is essentially a cruiserweight title. So
yeah,
we'll see where he finds his spot.
Yeah. Or, I mean, this could be avoided if they just make the digital media championship feel a little more important than just the pre-show title.
It's possible.
Yeah. Who knows? But great way to start off the show, I thought.
Yeah.
This would take us to a backstage segment with Rich Swann and Josh Alexander and Heath. Heath apologizes for costing Rich and Josh their tag team title shot last week. He said that if he hadn't come down there, they probably would have won the titles, and he wouldn't be shocked if they didn't want to tag with him or didn't feel comfortable with him this week.
Yeah, but all that debatable because I mean, Josh Alexander just got hit in the head with the kendo stick. And OGK was about to clean him up, it looks like. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, whatever. Heath, you know, cost the match, but I think that match would have ended without Heath anyway.
Exactly. Agreed. Swann and Josh blow it off. They say, you know, we understand you've got their issues. We've got our issues. But as long as we've got each other back at Victory Road, we're good. We can beat them. And we've got your back tonight, Heath, for your street fight. And Heath says, you know what, that's cool and all, guys, but I've got to do what a rebel's got to do, and I'm going to do it all by myself. After this, we get a video packet or video footage of Macklin attacking Sammy Callahan at a Wrestling Revolver show. After this, we got Jordan Grace versus Zicky Dice.
Zicky Dice gets the true jobber entrance. They don't even do the, the normal walkout for Johnny Swinger, where he's on the, you know, the Andre the Giant ring apron thing.
Yeah, no, they're just in there talking shop, basically, already. And then Jordan comes out. And this was all set up because, I guess, the week before?
So last week... I don't really know what Zicky Dice's reasoning was, but he's walking around with a big pizza.
Yes.
And I don't know. I asked Jordan Grace if she wanted pizza. And then also it was like, oh, Masha's going to kill you. And, naturally Jordan gets offended by that. So Jordan challenged him to a match next week. He didn't really accept. I think Johnny Swinger just kind of was like, yeah, daddy.
that's basically Zicky Dice's character is that he doesn't say yes. But Swinger will say yes for him.
Right. So that's what the match is about. Again, I couldn't tell you what really the pizza was for.
Yeah. All I know is that the clip that they posted on Twitter was pizza slap.
Yes.
Because Jordan grabbed a slice of pizza and slapped him. And apparently they also delivered the death warrant for Jordan for who she was going to face at Victory Road.
Yes, that's true.
For the pick your poison match.
Yes.
Which is Max the Impaler, who, as me and Angela point out, the only match we've seen of Max's is Max versus Masha Slamovich at Zicky Dice's Outlandish Paradise or Trouble in Paradise 2, where Max was a bear and it was Masha versus the bear.
Yeah, I guess Max is kind of newish on the scene. I think I read Max has been around since 2018.
Yeah, they're in NWA.
Okay. Right, yeah, the highlights were shown in NWA. Does Max have Father James Mitchell?
I'm not 100% sure. If I'm not mistaken, for a bit, Max's manager was Taryn Terrell.
If I'm not mistaken. Cool,
yeah,
but okay, so yeah, a very worthy opponent, a very intimidating opponent for Jordan Grace.
Yeah, definitely right up there with on the intimidating factor with Masha, so it fit the bill. This match with Zicky Dice was not like that at all. Jordan Grace, he beats up Zicky in two moves. Ripped his fanny pack off, threw his shirt into the crowd, grabbed his fanny pack, and yeah.
Yeah, we've seen Zicky get, like, other offense in, you know, BTI matches in the past couple months. This was none of that.
No, if this was a BTI match, it would have gone 15 minutes.
Yeah, right. And this looked like him when he was in a learning tree.
So. Zicky Dice is the BTI specialist. Once he's off BTI, he doesn't know how to wrestle.
Yeah, seriously.
After this, we have a fatal five-way match to hype up the triple threat revolver match for Victory Road. It is Mia Yim versus Black Taurus versus Trey Miguel versus Laredo Kid versus Alex Zane. It took me for a bit before I realized that most of the people in the triple threat revolver match are not from Impact. As the video package for it at Victory Road showed, you have Kazarian from AEW, you've got two people from New Japan, you've got two people from AAA, and then you've got Trey and Mia and Kenny King. Yeah, so you've got three Impact people,
two male from Impact, yeah,
so. Big old bunches of fun here. This Fatal 5-Way I thought was fantastic. It just was nonstop action, as you'd expect. Black Taurus looked fantastic, as I'm always going to say whenever Black Taurus wrestles. Give this man all the belts.
Yeah.
it was just fantastic stuff. I can't really think of too many moments in the match where I was like, oh, this is nothing stood out.
Yeah, I think
crazily. It was just
Mia Yim could hang with the boys.
Yes.
So,
yeah. And basically everybody was just hitting nonstop. It was just nonstop action. That's what you want. Black Taurus picks up the win with the Destination Hellhole on Alex Zane. Black Taurus picks up the big win.
Back-to-back wins for Black Taurus now. He just won the week before as part, tag teaming with the K, albeit it was more about Macklin and Moose not being a competent tag team together. But that's back-to-back wins for Black Taurus. He's calling it a heater.
Yeah, Black Taurus is on a roll.
Yeah.
I feel like he also won a match against Laredo Kid a few weeks ago.
He did, yeah.
Yeah, he's really on a roll.
No, yeah, it's no joke.
Yeah,
Black Taurus for president. Might be in the plans for something bigger in the future.
Yeah, we can only hope, dude. Because yeah. I mean, we've been high on Black Taurus for quite some time.
Yes, we have.
So. Yeah. After this, we go to Diener and Eric Young at a house. There's a bunch of people there. And this screams cult / white supremacist rally, where they're just repeating things that he says while holding up two fingers to form a V.
Well, yeah, so the week before he was beating them up for they'd be like, "What's your name?" And the guy would say whatever his name was.
Oh.
Get beat up by Diener. So, my name is Violence. What is my name? I am the designer.
Okay. Now I'm learning.
And still,
I miss a week of Impact, and I've missed a whole cult.
Exactly. A whole new cult started.
Violent by Design has gone from a three-person group that was obsessed with living in a prison to now being a cult.
Yeah, gotcha. I think the only thing that doesn't work for me with this is, Diener's not really a big guy. I'm I get it, Joe Doring is away right now, battling bigger things. But they could have used probably a more intimidating person than Diener beating up these pretty giant men that are a part of this cult.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I was gonna say most of these people do look bigger than Diener. Or at least the same height, but much more muscular.
Right.
This ends with Diener and Eric Young beating them all up while the people that they recruited still hold up the V. And then Diener and Eric Young smile. And this was bizarre. I don't get it. But it's not the only weird vignette thing that we'd get today.
Far from it.
Oh, no, because following this, following this, we have the Joe Hendry vignette. So
Brian, you're laughing.
I am. I love this. I absolutely love this. So last week I learned that Joe Hendry, shout out Joe Hendry, known listener of the Deep Six Wrestling podcast. Joe Hendry had signed to Impact, and I was ecstatic that this was happening. And then I saw people criticizing it on Twitter because apparently there was a vignette shown that made no sense and looked extremely low budget, and people were just trashing it. And I was like, oh, I've got to find this. And then I was like, oh, they'll just probably play it again next week. I'll watch next week's. And so watching it last night, I'm excited for it. And Pat sends it, and he's like, what the fuck was this? This is atrocious. And I was like, I've got to watch this. So watch it. I've got to say, it fits Joe Hendry's creative, weird videos that he's done for years. For those who don't know Joe Hendry, he made his name originally because he would make parody songs as his entrance themes in the UK indie scene, depending on his opponent. So there's like his biggest one that I remember was like he did a Pokemon one, and that blew up. That was like the first one I remember seeing it. But he's got an Eiffel, whatever, I'm blue, da-ba-dee-da-ba-da, for Drew McIntyre, or who is Drew Galloway, still on the indies. He's got Adele. He's got a Bloodhound Gang video. He's got all these crazy videos, but they're all extremely low budget. Like, instead of, like, editing or photoshopping a face, he just puts a cardboard cut out of the face on his face or on an actor's face. So it's low budget, it's bullshit, it's funny. That's what these scream. So this one is, these people are at a house talking, it's a, I guess, a husband and a wife. They're talking about how they have some news, they've got to talk about something because it's not yours. It's not yours. And he says, oh, well, whose is it? Say his name. And Joe Hendry pops out of the, like, the dining room window thing, and his theme starts playing, and then everybody just starts dancing, and everybody's happy because,
well, I don't know if the man is happy because he just found out that apparently the son he thought he was raising, or son or daughter, is Joe Hendry's, and then he seems to be not in control of his own body anymore because he's like angrily like clapping to the music.
Yeah, he's angry that he has to be in the room. Like he'd be thrilled if it was just Joe Hendry here, but he's mad at his wife. He's not mad at Joe Hendry because I believe in Joe Hendry.
I mean, I believe
Joe Hendry is going to motivate Impact Wrestling.
He will motivate Impact, but this man, man is not doing well.
I just think it's so outlandish that it's just perfect. And if this man doesn't win the digital media title, Impact has screwed the digital media title.
Oh, you know, I guess that's where he's going first, probably, right?
He has to.
Yeah. Oh, that makes sense then. Once they probably like realize that they can get Joe Hendry, they're like, oh, Bhupinder, forget it. Let's just, you know, put the kibosh.
You got it.
The big match is Brian Myers versus Joe Hendry.
Oh, it's gonna be brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay. But the previous vignette was this guy was dying. And they were trying to figure out who threw a chair at him.
Well, they're like looks like he's trying to say something. He's trying to say someone's name. And of course, it's Joe Hendry. And they're like, this is absurd.
And it's just so low budget. It's just, like, it's clearly he did this himself. Impact did not fund this.
No,
at all.
No shot.
That's what makes it so much better. It's so ridiculous. Please, like, you're either going to love it or you're going to hate it. But if you go in with an open mind, be like, okay, well, this is Joe Hendry. Like, I've seen his other stuff. You're going to see this and you're going to be like, okay, yeah, this is on par.
Well, for the other 80% that might not be familiar with Joe Hendry's
theory. Go look his stuff up first and then watch this.
Okay.
Because it's all on YouTube. All his video parody stuff is all on YouTube. So
okay,
makes sense. Watch it. It's free.
Free.
It's easily accessible. Yeah. After this, we've got Heath in the ring for an open challenge for a street fight with any member of Honor No More. Out comes PCO. He's ready to fight because of course he's ready to fight.
I was like, once it happened, I was like, I should have expected PCO to be the one to street fight. Like, who else would?
Yeah, it's a street fight. Obviously, it's going to be PCO. It's the only match he knows how to do.
Yeah, I was like, it involves lots of non-wrestling and just torturing my body. Absolutely.
Sign me up.
Sign me up.
Out comes Honor No More behind him to cut him off. And Eddie Edwards is furious. He says, PCO, you shouldn't be accepting this. I control your thoughts. Your thoughts are my thoughts, and your decisions are my decisions from now on. And my decision is that you are not wrestling this match. No member of Honor No More is wrestling this match. Nobody should be in the ring with him. He's dangerous. He's unsafe. We've got other things to worry about. We've got titles to worry about.
Yeah, so then basically there's that going on, and then Heath Slater kind of like, you know, does the typical eggs him on, like, oh, you don't seem like a monster if you're listening to Eddie Edwards. And it's enough to get PCO to march down the ring with Vincent. So
Vincent tells Eddie that he'll control him. He'll make sure everything's okay. We get a match, and it is typical street fight with
typical PCO
involved. Yeah, lots of just random shit going on. PCO just not giving a care in the world. Heath and him battle into the crowd. They go up onto the stage. The security clears out the area in front of the stage. And Heath just tosses PCO into a pile of chairs that are still set up.
Yeah. Because
people were sitting in them normally.
No, he absolutely just decked his own body there. Like really what ridiculous. Are you thinking? I guess this is where you should probably like mention the, you know, the casual that is your dad watching this with you.
Yeah. Or, so he did not watch Impact TV, so he did not see this spot.
Okay.
Because I decided to watch this at 12:30 a.m. last night. While I could have been sleeping like a little boy, I decided to watch Impact at 12:30.
I guess since I spoiled a little bit, could you mention what your dad thought of PCO while at Victory Road.
Yeah, absolutely. So my dad on the couch, he's reading something on his phone. And I was like, hey, PCO's coming down for his match with Vincent tonight. I was like, this is going to be your new favorite tag team. I'm calling it right now. Charlie Manson gimmick and old French Canadian Frankenstein man. And Jim's like, what is this? Why is he allowed to have chains on his head? Isn't that dangerous? Like, if you use them as a weapon, aren't you like disqualified? I was like, yeah, but he takes it off because he's Frankenstein.
Has he never seen the Road Warriors?
No. And he was just very like, he thought they were extremely silly, but he could not take his eyes off of that match because he was very confused about what was going on with PCO. And then when PCO does his little dive that nobody's going to catch him for, he just yells out, Jesus. And yeah, that's PCO. That's a PCO match for somebody who doesn't watch PCO.
But like, that must be the appeal that like impacts higher up. See,
yes, like, 100%. Honor it has to be.
Cause it's just like, it's like that shock value, the oh shit appeal. That, like, as an actual wrestling fan, you're like, maybe this is a little weird.
Yeah.
Maybe he shouldn't be doing this. He's 50 years old. But for, you know, people flipping the channels and stuff, like, that's going to keep you on.
Yeah.
So,
I 100%.
The appeal. Again?
Yeah.
Yeah. We potential future world champ right there.
Yeah. And we always go back to the whole, well, Sting does stuff like this, and he's older. Sting actually connects with his stuff. Sting is not throwing himself off of the top rope, doing a flip, landing on the back of his surgically repaired neck and spine, and not hitting anything. That's what PCO is doing.
PCO is just hitting floor and chair
and concrete.
It's absurd. Over and over again.
Yes, it is the definition of a car crash. It's a demolition derby between himself and the surroundings.
And the floor. And the floor is going to win every time.
Well, clearly it's not, because he keeps getting up.
I know. Yeah, I mean, I guess back to this Heath Slater match. I mean, like, definitely the highlight was him just jumping into the empty, you know, lot of chairs. And then he loses the match because what did he do? Like, try to do a swanton into the chairs again?
Yeah. So PCO then so Heath gets back into the ring, and then Vincent tries to get involved, and Honor No More, I think somebody else came down, and Josh and Rich Swann came down with chairs.
Came down.
Yeah. And they hit Eddie, and then. Vincent goes to hit Black Sunshine on Heath. Heath counters it with a wake up call, and then PCO gets back up and just starts. He comes over, and instead of getting in the ring like a normal person, he just finds every chair that is in arm's reach of him, and he just starts chucking them at the ref, at Heath. Just in general towards the ring as the ref and Heath try to dodge them. And then PCO gets back in. He knocks Heath down. He goes for some sort of, not the PCO salt, but something similar. It doesn't work because Heath moves out of the way. He hits a wake-up call onto the pile of chairs. And that is the match. Because PCO does not care about his health.
No, not at all.
I want to know what PCO's health insurance is.
I mean, like, it's got to be canceled once they, like, see, like, what he does for a living.
Well, maybe not, because maybe because he's a Canadian citizen. Like, it's, like, universal health care there. Yeah, so they're just like, fuck, we have to cover this man.
Yeah, basically, he's, like, just destroying his body, not in their country. No, you're not coming back.
No, man, maybe.
I don't know how that works.
I need to know.
But when he, like, when his collarbone looked broken.
No, that's because they stopped caring for him. They're just like, dude, you can't stop coming to us for these stupid things. Stop dying on the chairs.
Like, yeah, we get it's free health insurance. Doesn't mean you can break your like multiple bones every week and come back and get them repaired.
I just hope that he does it in character too. He goes to a Canadian doctor. He just screams at him. He just, oh, so why'd this happen? Jonah!
Yeah, he probably does.
Total. That's the only thing I hope.
Don't forget, Bret Hart said he was a safe wrestler in the night, which might be true for the opponent.
Yeah, he's gonna miss you every time.
Yeah,
I need PCO versus current day Bret Hart now.
Yeah, I'd allow it.
After this, we get Aussie Open versus Mercy Machine Guns, with the winner being announced to face OG Kingdom at Bound for Glory for the tag titles. Yeah, I thought this was a really good match. Aussie Open are fantastic. Aussie Open, for those who don't know, they are one of the tag teams in United Empire, which is Will Ospreay's faction in New Japan. They are the current New Japan of America's tag team champions. I think it's like the New Japan Openweight title or something like that.
There's a lot of words in there, but it's essentially like they're the first champions, right?
Yes,
Strong, and New Japan Strong tag.
Yes, team. Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, they beat, I think it was Daniels and Yuya Nomura for them. I think that was the final. It was them versus Christopher Daniels.
Wow.
Yeah. Because Christopher Daniels is just like, I work for AEW, but I'm not going to wrestle for AEW. I'm going to wrestle everywhere but AEW.
Yeah, that sounds about right for where he is in his career.
Like, I think he's in All Japan currently. Just
really?
Yeah. Just goofing off for a bit.
That's good. Maybe he's, yeah. he's doing his Curryman gimmick there.
Oh, I hope.
Yeah.
That's all we need. I thought, again, really good match. Just because of it being a match at Bound for Glory and because Aussie Open kind of just showed up and I don't know when the next time they're needed in New Japan is, I was like, oh, Mercy Machine Guns are winning this.
Right, right.
And then Mercy Machine Guns won this. And then I was like, oh, well, now they have challengers for those New Japan strong open weight tag title belts. So that's cool. Mercy Machine Guns win with the Skull and Bones. And yeah. After this, Tasha Steeles and Savannah Evans are with Gia Miller. They say they're going to take out Killer Kelly with a chair. They walk down the hallway. Savannah Evans disappears. And Killer Kelly appears in a chair. And says she wants to play with Tasha. And Tasha says that the only time they're playing is tomorrow at Victory Road. And walks away. Then we get a Giselle Shaw promo about how she's going to retire Mickey at Victory Road. Pretty standard stuff for heel promo about trying to end a opponent's career.
Yeah, definitely. I thought it was good.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, this goes with our thought of this goes to the thought of who's going to be the person to knock her off. And is she gonna run through the whole division before
she probably gets the title?
But like, is it going to be from Jordan or is it going to be from Masha?
Mickey probably beats Masha. I don't know. It's Mickey James. They're gonna and with Gail Kim running the division, I'm sure they're gonna let her get her
Pooey. Hurrah. Pooey. Angela, that's what I say.
Well, we'll see. Maybe yeah. she Now we still got to talk about Victory Road, so
yeah. We finish off the night with the Hold Harmless contract signing for Barbed Wire Massacre. Macklin and Moose show up, Sammy's music hits, he doesn't show up, so the contract signing goes forward. And then midway through the contract signing, Sammy finally shows up. Sammy is about to sign, and he's like, oh, I brought my own pen. It's wrapped in barbed wire, and before he can sign it, before he can sign it, everybody attacks him. It looks like Moose is holding Sammy up so Macklin can hit him with a move, but nope, it's so Moose can spear Macklin. And then Macklin gets attacked. Moose attacks Sammy. Sammy gets busted open. But Sammy stands tall at the end, and he gets a bloody handprint and puts it on as his signature.
Man,
that's how the show ends.
That's legally binding, right?
Sure. In the world of wrestling, absolutely anything's binding. Victory Road starts. Oh, I guess we should say I gave Impact a thumbs up this week.
Yeah, no, this is a really good lead up. And you know, it's like it's a lead up, but also like we're still a few weeks away from Bound for Glory. So like that's really, you know, the eyes are set there and Victory Road is kind of like another show in between.
Yeah, absolutely. That is that episode and we will go right into Victory Road. So yeah, starting off with Victory Road for the countdown to Victory Road. It is the pre-show. There was two matches announced for it. We had Tasha Steeles versus Killer Kelly, which I was kind of surprised that they threw on there. And then the match that definitely screamed kickoff match.
Yeah, Bullet Club versus all the Gut Check winners.
Yeah. So we had Rock Hard Juice Robinson, which they didn't announce him as Rock Hard Juice Robinson, which pissed me off.
But Matthew Rainwald did say the juice is loose.
He did. He did. So you got Juice Robinson, Ace Austin, and Chris Bay versus the Gut Check winners of this year. And the Gut Check winner from 2020, Shogun. It was I forget the other member, Jackson Hodge, I think. I forget the other guy because they really
I think he was the co-winner last year or something like that.
Yeah, I was just so focused on Shogun because he just – so it was Jack Price, Jason Hotch, not Jackson or Jackson Hotch, and Shogun Jackson Stone. So there's the three people. Bullet Club win in basically a squash. Jason Hotch got some spots in. Shogun was there. Looking totally different than everybody else. And Jack Price ate the pin, and everybody's finishers. But it got the crowd going because Bullet Club.
Yeah, exactly. So Juice, is he like really still involved with Bullet Club
stuff? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
He's, at least through the G1 he was, then, I guess he's back in America for a bit, because cool. there's not really any major stuff going on for him, I guess, because they're kind of in between big things, I'd assume he'll be back in Japan sooner rather than later, but who knows? There's so many people in Bullet Club. Juice could be back in the U.S. for like a month and they wouldn't miss him.
Right.
The other match, Tasha Steelz versus Killer Kelly. So this was a fine match. But the ending was absolutely bizarre.
Oh, yeah. I was trying to think about it. I'm like, yeah, that was bizarre.
Tasha Steelz comes out. Savannah is back, so she's not really disappeared. They must have found her in that one day that she disappeared.
24 hours, yeah.
Yeah. So Killer Kelly, if she is a serial/horror killer person, she's not doing a good job if she's taking people away.
Overall this match, like, there was like an actual back and forth. Tasha Steelz had some offense. Squash build up like this. This was a match. Killer Kelly's, you know, at the same level as Tasha, you know, kind of basically. Like, she's definitely like going to be, you know, presented in a better way in the coming months. But like they held their own against each other. And then whatever this finish was, Ryan.
So Savannah Evans gets on the ringside or gets on the apron because she realizes Killer Kelly's about to make. They're about to lock in the killer clutch on Savannah, or not on Savannah, on Tasha. Savannah has a chain. Killer Kelly notices it, knocks Savannah off the apron, but grabs the chain and goes to choke Tasha with the chain. The ref sees this and goes to throw the match out, but as he's about to do it, Killer Kelly locks on the killer clutch on him with the chain and makes him tap out, and she doesn't break it. And out comes some more refs, out comes Lance Storm, and out comes Tommy Dreamer, who they do acknowledge. They do say Tommy Dreamer and Lance Storm are here to try to get her off.
They're trying to write Tommy Dreamer back on TV.
Oh, absolutely.
This is what they're doing. They're planting the seeds.
Yeah. Hey, man, we did say he was going to appear on Victory Road. We just thought he was going to be in a match randomly.
Yeah, true.
We thought he was going to be in a random hardcore, old school rules match.
Right, and he didn't even cry.
No, that's a damn travesty. He didn't cut a promo.
Right.
He didn't have his triple braided hair.
He's going to cry at Bound for Glory.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
When the new Hall of Fame inductee, Raven.
Oh, he has to be the one inducting Raven.
No doubt.
That's why they brought him back.
That is 100% why Tommy Dreamer is back.
And then he's just going to cry the entire time.
No doubt.
Oh, it's going to be great. Yeah, so the match is thrown out, is ruled a disqualification, and Tasha Steelz has picked up the first victory over Killer Kelly by technicality. I think this just shows that Killer Kelly is crazy, but I don't know what this is. It's going to prolong the feud for two more weeks, I guess. This is going to be a Bound for Glory match.
Definitely that. It's definitely a Bound for Glory match then, which is fine. I think that makes sense. Hopefully that they do better than a pre-show then for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, this reminds me of when I was a youngin watching SmackDown in like the mid-2000s, and Finlay, he was already, you know, a well-known wrestler from WCW, but he made his like WWE debut.
Yeah.
I forget who he went against. Was it Rey Mysterio or someone? But he gets the victory. It might have been actually a jobber. He gets the victory and is doing fine. But then he just starts beating the hell out of this jobber, whoever, with the shillelagh, like over and over again. The ref reverses the decision. Like, please stop. So he ended up losing the match. So, like, in a similar manner, like Killer Kelly. Can't control the person.
I like it. Well, it's because he loves to fuck. I mean, fight.
Yeah. Indeed.
After this, we go to our main show, and we are kicking it off with X Division title match between Delirious and Mike Bailey. So commentary points out that Mike Bailey is closing in on Christopher Daniels' record for most defenses. And commentary, I was very confused by it because commentary said something and it sounded like they were trying to, the way that they phrased it, we're combining all the different reigns that Christopher Daniels had.
Yeah,
which they're like, oh, this is what he's at, and this is what Mike Bailey's at, and Mike Bailey's done it in less than 100 days, and Christopher Daniels did in almost 200. And I was like, oh, okay, so he's about to pass the most combined reigns, and it's going to be in one reign. That's incredible. So did some digging. His one reign counts more than most other people because Impact recognizes his defenses in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, where he defended it like 3 times in a weekend, which gave him 13. Mike Bailey's defenses in Wrestling Revolver and I think one in GCW maybe, or AAW, like that Chicago place that they had the title match of the other day or the other week. Mm-hmm. Those are not being counted for Mike Bailey, but they're sanctioning them. It's very weird.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
But yeah, so Mike Bailey, this is, if he defeats Delirious, would be his 9th defense, not his, instead of what really would be his 11th successful defense.
Right. Okay.
I thought this was a pretty good match. I've never seen a Delirious match in my life.
Yeah, I'm not either. I think he's the trainer, or he used to be the head trainer at Ring of Honor.
Yeah, and he was also the booker for a while as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he was the booker, and maybe Jigsaw was the trainer. I forget. Or maybe
I think he did both.
Okay.
He was like a thing of a little bit of everything. Yeah, he definitely was one of the trainers because I'm trying to think. One of the last shows that they did, that Ring of Honor did, Delirious faced Cheeseburger. And Delirious gifted Cheeseburger's mask afterwards to, like, pass it down because Cheeseburger's now, like, a trainer, basically. And Delirious trained him in the ROH dojo.
Yeah.
So, cool. Yeah. So I think he did, like, a little bit of booking, a bit of training. But it definitely shows that he's really good. I thought this was a really good match. I, again, not familiar with much of his work other than that he existed in Ring of Honor, and that he has a mask and a beard. That's the only things I knew about Delirious. Oh,
yeah, he was a very hyper local talent.
Yes. And that he, dates or is married to Mandy Leone of Ring of Honor. Those are the only things I know about Delirious. But yeah, this was a really good match. For somebody who doesn't wrestle too often, pretty good. He really worked on Mike Bailey's back and neck throughout this match. Just really stiff strikes, really hard-hitting stuff. He hit, I believe, his finisher. At least Impact tried to make it like it was his finisher. I don't know if it's actually his finisher. I'm trying to bring up the name of it real quick because they said it, and I had it written down, but I think I'd spelt it wrong. It is the smoke of the no something of it was something, but it's just like a diving move onto somebody's back, and it looks extremely painful. It looked like Ultimo Weapon, but so much further. Shadows over Hell. That's what it is. I had smoke over the water.
smoke on the water.
Yeah. But Shadows over Hell. They've sold this like this is a move that nobody kicks out of. And he kicked out of it. They continued for a while. Mike Bailey went for Ultimo Weapon. Delirious countered it. They had this really hard kicking exchange. Mike Bailey delivers a basically of Delirious who just folds. And he sells this like death. It was a really good sell. And Mike Bailey would get back in control. He would set up for the Flamingo Driver and pick up the win. And he is now at 9 defenses, successful defenses on Impact Television.
Yeah, it's pretty big. And so now he's got to sit back tight and see who his Bound for Glory opponent's going to be.
Yeah. After this, commentary announces that there's an auction going on eBay for Joe Doering and his battle with cancer. And all of the proceeds are going directly to Joe Doering and his fight against cancer. After this, we get an Honor No More promo about how Maria says that everybody, this is a big night for them. Kenny's going to get them gold in the X Division, or get set up a match for the X Division title at Bound for Glory. Eddie's going to win the title at Bound for Glory. OGK are going to retain their titles at Bound for Glory. Eddie and OGK are going to win tonight against Josh, Heath, and Rich. And Vincent and PCO are going to beat the number one contenders for the OGK's tag titles at Bound for Glory in Motor City Machine Guns. Vincent starts kind of promo, PCO starts growling randomly, and Eddie just snaps on PCO, talking about how he doesn't trust him. He didn't listen to him yesterday, so why should he even get a match today? And Vincent just pulls out an executioner's hood and puts it over PCO's face and says, "Hey man, he's gonna prove that we're good today. All right, we're gonna prove that today." Dig what I'm saying, man? Gotta throw that in there. This would take us to Vincent and PCO versus the Motor City Machine Guns. This was a match that existed. Concerning Motor City Machine Guns, I was expecting, you're expecting flawless tag team wrestling from them. I thought they looked really good. PCO and Vincent, I do not understand what was going on in this, because the whole thing was that Vincent is supposed to be able to talk to PCO, but his commentary says they don't talk in human ways, and I'm very confused on what that meant. But there was just a lot of miscommunication here between them. They were bumping into each other at points, accidentally hitting each other with their moves. PCO tried to tag Vincent in at one point, but Vincent wouldn't accept it until PCO was like standing in the ring right in front of him so that he could slide around him instead of having to wait for him to move. It was weird. PCO attempted to kill himself again by just diving at nobody. And hitting the ramp.
Just back square against the floor there.
Yeah, just what a day for this man.
Yeah, 24 hours.
Yeah. Vincent and PCO do not pick up the win. Vincent did hit his finisher, Red Rum, but Motor City Machine Guns got out of that. And yeah, Motor City Machine Guns win. And commentary points out, he's going to have big talking to Vincent and PCO about this. Giselle Shaw versus Mickey James. Again, we've been hypercritical of Mickey James in her previous run with Impact, that her matches just did not live up to what the standard of Mickey James matches were. This blew every single match that she had in this previous run out of the water. This was a fantastic match.
Yeah, maybe that's more on Giselle.
Yeah. This was easily Giselle's best match that she's had in Impact. But Mickey looked great. Giselle looked great in this. It just felt really, really strong. The chemistry was just there for almost this entire thing. They really sold it like either person could win this match, which I think is what you have to do in these, like, the next time I lose, I'm retiring, or the next time we lose, we're breaking up.
Right.
Like, you've got to make sure that, like, there's some sort of, like, risk for them. Like, if it's just, like, I'm blowing through everybody, like, not going to be realistic. But, like, that this made it feel like, okay, well, everybody on the Knockouts roster at this point could be a threat to end Mickey's career, which I think is really strong booking for the Knockouts division as a whole, but also makes Mickey look stronger as well, that she's able to beat them and hang with them. So I think the biggest, or the, in my opinion, the best spot of this match, Giselle went for her so she normally goes with a corkscrew move out of the corner as one of her finishers. This time she went with a diving kick, a corkscrew kick onto the outside, and it landed pretty flush with Mickey in her face. I thought it was like a botch originally, but like they showed it back, and it clearly she like moved it out to be like a kick. It was really impressive. Like, so much could have gone wrong with the move, and it didn't, and it looked really good. What didn't look good was the ending of this match. Mickey goes for the Mick kick, and just, it's miles off. It did not look anywhere close to being close to hitting any part of Giselle's body. And then she lines her up for the Mick DDT, picks up the win. And yeah, overall, I'd say a really good match. Spotty ending, but it can be forgiven because the match was really good.
Yeah, agreed.
This would take us to our next match. And our next match would be our triple threat revolver match between Yuya Yamura, Trey Miguel, Mia Yim, Laredo Kid, Kenny King, Black Taurus, Alex Zane, and Frankie Kazarian. We start off the match with Mia Yim, Laredo Kid, and Trey Miguel to kick off the match. And the rules are simple. It's a triple threat match. Anything goes, basically, but it's an elimination match. So if you get eliminated, you're out, and the next person will come in.
Until the last three, and then yes, first pinfall wins.
Yes. So I thought this was an interesting triple threat people. Trey, I figured was going – I personally thought Trey was not going to last super long in this match just because he's already had the X Division title this year, and he already had X Division title match. That was not the case. He felt like the Iron Man in this match for most of it. Mia Yim looked extremely strong throughout this match, picking up a few eliminations, including the first elimination. She eliminates Laredo Kid, and that would bring out Alex Zane, who Mia Yim would also eliminate. So picking up two eliminations pretty quickly. And then out comes Kenny King. And this is where things got a bit weird. Kenny King was... He was looked good, but he, like, whenever he would attack Mia, he'd make these very loud yells. Like
cackles.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he put Mia in the corner and was like punching her and kicking her and stuff. And he just started losing his shit. I was very confused about this. We all were. As Pat questioned if this was his new gimmick. And I was like, no, I've never seen Kenny King do this in my life. He thought that Mia Yim should eliminate Kenny King. Well, Impact thought differently. Kenny King eliminates Mia Yim. Crowd very against this. Makes sense. The loudest boos of the night for anybody. Out comes
the heat magnet.
Yeah, out comes Yuya Yamura, who comes in, gets to the top rope, immediately hits a meteor drop kick right to Trey Miguel's face.
Yeah, a beautiful drop kick.
Dude, he's so good. I fucking love Yamura. And again, Yamura, 27 years old. He looks like he is the real deal. I think if New Japan have a super big talent there with this guy. However, Impact... Didn't need him as much. He's not in there for much time. He gets eliminated. Out comes Frankie Kazarian. Frankie Kazarian would eliminate Trey, and that would bring out Black Tarus. And I thought Black Tarus was going to pick up a win. I really did.
That would have been hard, though, coming off, you know, the win yesterday. Yeah.
I just didn't think the person who won was going to pick up a win. I was very shocked, but
when it was them three left, I thought, like, okay, Kenny King's gonna get it. This is a Bound for Glory match, like kind of rubber match there.
Yeah,
but no, we got Frankie Kazarian pinning Kenny King to now become the number one contender, and it's very surprising.
Yeah, and I'm not against it.
No, definitely not against it. It was just like
it shocks me.
Yeah, just with the talent on the X Division roster, and I mean, again, you know, it's only a 2-week build, and it's a good on paper matchup. You know, Kazarian versus Mike Bailey, old versus new. Yeah,
Kazarian trying to save his old tag team partner's record.
Yeah, exactly.
That's trying to preserve it.
Exactly. Maybe Christopher Daniels will be next.
Yeah. Hey, man, I still think that if Impact is smart, if the thing is they want Mike Bailey to hold it for longer or have more defenses, I think number 14 should be Christopher Daniels.
I mean, that would be awesome.
Since yeah. He's
still active wrestling, like, might as well.
Yeah. I just think that's just a really cool passing of the torch moment for the X Division of like the old guard of the X Division. Trying to defend his record, the new guy gets it, and it's a big win. And I'm sure it would be a great match because Mike Bailey's great, and Christopher Daniels shows that he can still go every time he's in the ring.
Oh, absolutely.
After this, we get Honor No More versus Heath, Rich Swann, and Josh Alexander. This is not what I expected from this match. I thought this match, for some reason, I just assumed because it was an Honor No More multi-man match that this was a no DQ match. And it wasn't. And I was like, why are people following the rules of this match the entire time? Yeah. And pretty early on, I was just like, this is weird. Why? Why is there not shenanigans nonstop? Then it dawned on me on what the rules actually were.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, okay, this makes a little more sense. I was shocked at the ending of this match. I figured Honor No More was going to win, just to make them look a little strong going into Bound for Glory.
But yeah, Eddie Edwards getting a Boston knee party and getting the win on Josh Alexander.
Yeah, pinning Josh Alexander clean was bizarre. Yeah, I did albeit not Josh see
Alexander
that.
Was like in the middle of, you know, trying to get Matt Taven to tap, I guess, the ankle off.
Yes.
He wasn't even the active.
Yes. Yeah, he wasn't the legal man. No.
He wasn't the legal man, but he was in the middle of an ankle lock and then got hit from the side at the Boston Knee Party. So,
yeah, very shocking stuff. I can't remember the last time I saw Josh Alexander get pinned.
Yeah, it's really been a while.
Yeah, I feel like it's got to be Bound for Glory last year with Moose.
Literally Moose, yeah.
Like, I can't think of any time else that he's been pinned. After this, we got the announcement for Raven being into the Hall of Fame. Cool stuff.
The early NWA TNA days.
Yes.
So he's definitely deserving just based on that.
Yeah. I honestly thought he was already in the Hall of Fame.
The Hall of Fame's pretty small.
Yeah.
In fact, they've literally done like one a year for only a few years, I think.
Yeah. This will take us to our next match. It is Jordan Grace versus Max the Impaler with Father James Mitchell at ringside. And this is, again, Max the Impaler was Masha Slamovich's hand-picked opponent for Jordan Grace for Pick Your Poison. And its commentary says, every Pick Your Poison match ends up, it goes both ways. Your opponent also gets to choose an opponent for you. But Jordan Grace hadn't made the announcement on who the opponent was going to be. This was a very long match, but I thought it was a very strong match. Both people looked really, really strong in this. Max looked like she was really bringing the heat on Jordan.
Yes, sir.
Really cool spot. Max did like, I think it was like a backbreaker right onto the apron, which did get Jim to shout out, "You can't fake that shit." which, yes,
yeah, fair.
Yeah, that's fair. And yeah, I thought that was a really cool spot. I was very confused. Father James Mitchell, like, numerous times kept on getting onto the ring apron and then like pulling himself down before anything happened. I was very confused about it. I was like, is this like a 2K glitch where like somebody just gets on the apron to try to distract somebody and like it does absolutely nothing? Because that's what it felt like.
No problem.
But yeah, Max looked really good. Jordan looked really strong. The fact that Jordan was able to counter a lot of Max's stuff, stay with it, and pick up the win looked good. Jordan gets the win. Crowd was very loud for this. And then Jordan got a mic. Jordan said that Masha chose a very good opponent, very strong opponent. But as Masha is learning and as everybody else is learning, Jordan doesn't go down without a fight. And that's how she picked up her win tonight. And then he pointed out, or then she pointed out that, yeah, she gets to choose a Pick Your Poison match for Masha, and she is going to choose, or she chose a friend of hers who is as dangerous, as sadistic, as morally questionable as Masha, and she has chosen Alley Catch of GCW, but not just in a regular match. It is a Monsters Ball match at on Impact next week.
Yeah, that should be very exciting.
Yeah, haven't seen too much of Alley Catch other than like the few GCW matches I've seen of her, but this should be brutal.
Yeah, it really just depends how much they present, how they present her, especially she's not like a signed Impact wrestler, not very, very known on a national scale. So,
yeah, it's gotta be. I mean, they've clearly got some, like, they're not gonna throw a random person that they don't trust to have a decently long match with,
right? They're not gonna
have a Monsters Ball match. Yeah,
I would think.
Yeah, that would be very weird. But it will be interesting to see if we get like a different presentation of Masha. Do we get like the independent scene Masha of her being
what,
like,
what if Jordan was like, my friend ODB is gonna face you in a Masha's ball match? Now that
I'm not gonna lie, I thought she was going to say Jazz. I honestly thought it was gonna be like Jazz or Havoc.
That like it would have almost made sense. Jazz would have been kind of funny.
ODB would have been better.
Yeah, ODB was like, this is perfect, and then she's getting squashed by Masha.
My friend, Madison Rain.
Oh no,
she's back.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. After also
my friend Lacey Von Erich.
My friend Jenna Maraska.
Oh God.
And the crowd, and my friend Taylor Wilde.
Yeah, and the crowd goes mild.
She's back.
She's back.
After another year's long absence. She's been training for Monsters Ball for a year.
Just
no food, no water, no sunlight.
No, yeah, exactly. It's just the skeleton now. The corpse.
I book it.
Yeah.
We also had a backstage segment somewhere on this. I don't remember where, between Chelsea, Deanna, Jessica, Rosemary, Taya, and Gail Kim. Bound for Glory, it will be Vexed defending their tag titles against, I guess, Jessica and Taya, with Rosemary at ringside, it seems.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it sounds like, which is that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Should be good. It'll be, should be a good matchup. I don't, you know, we get speculated on it on another episode, but I don't imagine right now that Vex lose the titles here.
Yeah, I feel like that'd be very weird. To give them the title and immediately have them lose it.
Yeah.
But we'll see. After this, we get our final match, the main event. It is Triple Threat Barbed Wire Massacre. Moose versus Steve Maclin versus Sammy Callahan.
And it is not exploding barbed wire.
No. No, it is not.
Thank goodness.
They all come out. Maclin has his face paint on, and as commentary points out, the last time he had the face paint on was another Triple Threat match in this very I think they said in this very building, between him, Chris Sabin, and Jay White, which he won. And I was like, oh shit, Maclin gonna win.
Oh, the Finn Balor.
Yeah, it's the demon. Yeah, the demon, right. Steve.
Demon Steve.
We need a demon on a pole match between Crazy Steve and Steve Maclin.
Yeah, book it.
This is a really fun match. If you're not into hardcore stuff, I guess it's not for you.
Yeah, I would say the ladder match was last week or yesterday's episode of Impact. Where that one was like, oh, it's a stipulation match, but not really a spot fest. This was a spot fest.
Yes.
And that's what, you know, that's what these matches are usually all about. So
yeah. Moose is, the commentary pointed this out pretty early on. Moose has kind of evolved from, you know, he's the wrestling god. He's just like all about like wrestling to, he does have this side of just wanting to kill people. And he's kind of, basically with Sammy, he's kind of brought that out a lot. And he really excels in these types of matches. Maclin, we've seen him and Sammy can go pretty far out there with their wrestling and their, no DQ match, from Emergence. And Sammy is, you know, it's kind of, that's his gimmick is,
yeah.
He's the deathmatch guy. But I thought this was a really good match. I thought this was a really strong way to end the show.
Yeah, Macklin got open pretty early on, right?
Yeah, Macklin got busted open pretty quickly. It started leaking pretty slowly, and then he just kept on getting hit in the face with things, and he was just gushing. And by the end of the match, his entire face paint was gone, and it was just his face was just red.
Yeah,
like that's all it was.
Yeah, I guess the Nintendo 64 controller, you know, covered in barbed wire, did not help his case.
Yeah, no, I think that's probably what took off the rest of the mask that was there.
All the puns by commentary.
Oh my gosh. You're never going to think of a joystick the same way again.
Yeah.
Sammy was dressed as Cactus Jack for this. I thought that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, there wasn't too many like weird foreign objects that were like, oh, that's something weird that's wrapped in barbed wire. Other than we had the Nintendo 64 controller. We had a rolling pin, which Moose was obsessed with. He took it out. He rolled it up and down Macklin's face for a while. And then he just started playing with it in the corner for a bit for the camera, which was weird. there were the wet floor signs. Wrapped in barbed wire, which commentary said, that's not water, or that's not a bucket of water or a mop on that sign. That's barbed wire. I hope it's not water.
Yeah.
There were some doors with barbed wire. There are tables and chairs with barbed wire, as expected. The first move of the match was Moose running into Macklin or throwing Macklin into a door and then bouncing off of it and Moose getting hit by the cactus driver from Sammy. And Tom Trevor was like, this match could be over in seconds. And I was like, bro, if this match ended off of that, I think the crowd would have rioted.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the setup of the ring would have taken longer.
Yeah, that would have been very
But yeah, it was a very good match. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I think this was another star-making performance for Macklin. Another huge triple threat win.
Yeah, and then very intentionally done being right before Bound for Glory.
Yes.
Eddie Edwards versus, you know, Josh Alexander's the match, the main event that's happening. So
yeah. I think if my guess is there's going to be a Call Your Shot gauntlet on this card as there normally is. And I think the shoe-in to win it is Steve Macklin. I think Macklin winning it and going after Josh or Eddie doesn't matter. Either or, he's got stories with both he can do.
And it seems like he could kind of do a tweener role at this point.
Yeah, because the crowd is really all in.
Yeah.
And it clearly seems like Impact Management is all in with him.
Yeah, a lot has changed in a year where he was like kind of like beating up X Division stars. And we were like, this is kind of weird. What is he doing? To now he is a legit world title contender in our eyes.
Yeah. Again, when he first signed, I don't think any of us were excited for it. We were like, why is one of the Forgotten Sons from WWE showing up here? He's a tag team guy. He was in NXT for a while as a tag team guy. I can't remember a good Steve Macklin match to now he's like it's a part of the show that we want to watch every week.
Yeah.
He's a good character. He's a good wrestler. And in the span of a year, he's had two really big triple threat wins where he has beaten Chris Sabin and Jay White, and in another one, it has been Moose and Sammy Callahan. So
I think he definitely benefits with Morrissey not being in the picture of Impact.
Yes,
because they were 100%. Like kind of in similar phases too of their career, both in like trying to revitalize themselves and both being like monster heels. So like it's a good spot for him now.
100%, 100%. And yeah, I think there's more of a ceiling for Macklin at this point as well. He's much more well-rounded. I still don't think he's like the greatest promo, but it doesn't matter because his actions speak louder than his words. So, Victory Road, give it another thumbs up.
Yeah, it was a solid show. I definitely liked it. You know, nice Impact Plus show. Again, leading into what will be Bound for Glory in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, Impact also during the show revealed like some more shows that they're doing for the rest of the year. The 25th of November, which is Black Friday, they are doing another episode of the Impact Provisional Wrestling Federation, which is their throwback shows that they do. So seems like they're doing another one of those for a November show. That's a Friday, so I guess the night after Thanksgiving, you'll get that will be the November Impact Plus show, I'd assume. Or it's going to just be taped differently and they'll throw it on randomly in December when like they take like 2 weeks off at the end of December. Who knows? But yeah, overall, good 2 days of Impact. And yeah, have anything else to add, Angelo?
You know what? I don't think so. Man. Any Impact stars making waves elsewhere in the world of wrestling right now? I
don't believe so. I mean, yeah, Matt Cardona.
More season AEW.
I was gonna say we haven't talked about the PWI.
Oh,
and how Josh Alexander is listed lower than Matt Cardona, I believe.
Yeah. Okay. I guess we can end this. It is a little silly.
Yes.
Very silly. I mean, you have a guy that, you know, basically is the face of Impact Wrestling.
Yeah.
Super protected.
Was the X Division champion beat?
Yeah, right. He was the X Division, so the PWI would be August to August, basically. August to July. So
it's July to July.
It's July to July? Okay, so yeah. July 1st, then 2021.
Yeah,
or even if it was the end of July, whatever it was, he was X Division champ.
He cashes on a roll.
On a roll, cashes in, wins at Bound for Glory against Christian, then loses to Moose, and then had a couple months where he was cold.
But yes.
all worth it in the end because he wins the title back and is on a tear. And he was on a tear before he won the title back anyway.
Yes.
Versus Matt Cardona, who's been a super belt collector of like smaller belts, you know, that was the GCW title in that range.
I don't think so. I think that was the spring of 2021.
Right. Right. So he, you know,
Moxley's had it forever at this point.
Right. And then, so from an Impact perspective, he lost to Moose,
mm-hmm.
you know, and Morrissey, like he was doing fine. He was definitely in a spot better than he was normally in his career. And I'm a big Cardona fan. I think actually for the Mid-Year Rewards, I think I said it, he was like, he's been my favorite, you know, wrestler in Impact.
Yes.
But in terms of putting him as a, you know, better year than Josh Alexander, that's tough to say. I would not agree with that because Josh Alexander's been your champ. So,
yeah.
Where was it 2020 into 2021? Rich Swann was actually in the top 10.
His
Impact title run, so that one was a little weird to leave Josh Alexander out. Maybe it was just, you know, first, this is really like 1 year after COVID really affected everything. The landscape of wrestling has gotten stronger. New Japan has been like, you know, hitting harder than it was in 2020, so it could be some factors why Josh Alexander didn't make the top 10. But yeah, if you had to swap someone, I would swap the places between Cardona and Josh Alexander, definitely.
Yeah, I'm just looking. Ace Austin was number 33, Mike Bailey at 30. I feel like Mike Bailey should be higher just because he's everywhere and he's booked strong.
Yeah, everywhere. He is everywhere now. But that's pretty high. I mean, for he's everywhere that isn't AEW or WWE. So
that's fair. Moose is 21.
Okay. Yeah, because he was champ.
Yeah, right? He was champ. Yeah. Just going down the list for the next Impact person. Trey Miguel is 49.
Yeah, I mean, it's the value of the X Division title.
Yeah. And then Laredo Kid at 66. Alex Shelley at 70.
Yeah, which Laredo Kid at 66 is interesting because it's like nothing in Impact really that good. Like he's a good talent, obviously, but he doesn't win.
Yeah,
he just doesn't win on Impact. So that's definitely just based on his other work elsewhere.
Yeah, Jordan Grace at 97.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Masha Slamovich at 110. And Allie Ketch at 111. So it's battle for 110th place. That's how I'm saying it. And Nick Gage at 112. There you go. That's the deathmatch range.
Gage, yeah. They should have had Masha versus Nick Gage.
Yeah. I'm just, like, looking at this. I cannot see. Chris Bay is at 133. I still don't see Chris Sabin.
That's interesting, because he had a pretty solid year as a singles wrestler.
Yeah, unless I've, like, missed him pretty early on. But, like, I feel like Chris Sabin had a bigger year than Ace Austin. Or
Ace Austin did, I guess.
Yeah, he had the Best of Super Juniors run.
Yeah.
But definitely better than Alex Shelley, in my opinion.
Right, I agree.
Like, yeah, so weird. Maybe Shelley does more on the indies, but like, is he booked well on the indies? I don't know.
Yeah, I think he is. I think he has wins over Danny Garcia and stuff.
Okay, that makes a little bit more sense. Because yeah, I'm in the 160s at this point, and still no Chris Sabin. But W. Morrissey is at 172. So
interesting. Okay.
Interesting stuff.
He ascended his star so much, you know, that last year, and it was, I think, beyond just his win loss record for the PWI. Like, he looks like a superstar that can make a lot of money in this industry going forward. So
Chris Sabin, 202.
Okay.
Yeah. Right below Bobby Fish and T-Hawk, and right above Luchasaurus and Dark Sheik of GCW.
Dark Sheik, that's pretty cool. Interesting
place. Oh, we forgot to say the big debut that happened on the show.
Did we?
Bobby Fish showed up.
Oh, we kind of skipped right over that. That's a new Impact guy, even though he came in, said he wasn't signed.
Yeah.
Controversial. No, like, announcement beforehand that Bobby Fish was going to show up, right?
No. The big Bobby Fish story has been that he's been basically petitioning to go to WWE again. Because, as he put it, he would go to war for Triple H. He would run through brick walls for Triple H if Triple H said so. And then Wrestling Observer pointed out either yesterday or today, that according to their source in AEW, Bobby Fish had been trying to get people to leave AEW to go back to WWE with him, including Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole, both of which said no, that they were comfortable in AEW and really liked what they were doing there. Bobby Fish left. Seemed like, okay, well, maybe he's going back to the WWE. Nope, he's in Impact. So I feel like his power play left.
Definitely. I mean, like, his power play was that the whole team, the trio of them.
Yes.
So him on his own in Impact, we'll see. It was weird because, like, I've never personally, like, held a lot of value to him.
No, he's good in ring, but he gets injured all the time.
Yeah, right. And he's kind of getting older, so he's kind of at that stage where it's hard to keep up. But yeah, very good in ring talent. We'll see where it goes. Yeah, so today at the pay-per-view, he beat up Raj Singh and Shira a little bit. Yeah. So, and said he didn't know who the heck they were, so.
Yeah. I don't know. Is he an X Division guy? I'd say so. But if he's messing with Shira and Raj Singh, it seems like he'd be like a heavyweight guy. Which I just can't see him as that.
You know, he's built like Josh Alexander, so he can kind of fit anywhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, with his, you know, he's not a spring chicken totally, so it's, I can't imagine he's like a long term project. But should be exciting, maybe leading into Bound for Glory, or maybe like for a few months after. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that's our Impact show. Very long, but hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back maybe next week.
Cool.
Yeah. And we're on the road to Bound for Glory. Our 2-week road.
2-week road, yep. Victory Road to Bound for Glory.
Yeah. Road. Good stuff. All right, we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.